The various economic reports over the past week have shown better than expected numbers for things like jobs, production costs, rate of inflation. But in my view, all of them should be ignored because none of them reflect what's about to happen via the tariff war that Donald Trump has launched. These trade tariffs continue to be discussed, debated, falsely praised, and as my next guest is here to reveal, now being legally challenged. Here to explain the basis of a court case response to the Trump trade tariffs is Senior Litigation Counsel with the new Civil Liberties Alliance, Andrew Morris. Thanks for being here today, Andrew.
Good morning, Chris. Great to be here.
Learn more about the organization, the new Civil Liberties Alliance, and this case in particular, nclalegal.org. The link at our homepage as well. So give us the basis of this lawsuit, Andrew, because we I've talked about with other organizations their attempts to do similar actions in other with other issues, but I think we both have seen those cases get swatted down by judges because they don't have standing is the legal term. And from what I was able to read with the filing, I do believe you've had that question answered before you walked into the courtroom.
We certainly think so. We think standing is not an issue in this case as it is in some other cases. Our client simplified a small business that provides planners and organizational tools primarily for women, is directly and devastatingly injured by these tariffs. So there's no doubt that the CEO, Emily Lay, and her business are directly injured. It means she has standing. In this case, I can just tell you about, in a nutshell about the case. The case challenges these recent tariffs because the president relies not on tariff laws, but he relies on a law that has nothing to do with tariffs. He cites his emergency powers, an emergency law. He skipped over laws that exist that permit presidents to impose tariffs if they comply with some fairly complex procedures and therefore kind of a screen on the kind of tariffs the president can impose. But here, President Trump is imposing, we're challenging the China tariff, but all the recent tariffs, on a law that gives the president kind of special powers to protect the American people against short-term or quickly rising foreign emergencies. So we cited a law that's been used to do things like sanction Russia after the Ukrainian war broke out. It's been used to sanction Iran. It's been used to sanction terror groups. But it's not been used to impose tariffs on the American people. And the basis of our lawsuit is that it's not it doesn't give him authority to do that. So he's trying to kind of be cute and bypass tariff laws, but that means that what he's done is legally unlawful. That's, in a short answer, that's what our case is about. In a way, it's a kind of taxation without representation, where tariffs are supposed to go through procedures that Congress passed, right? Congress passes the tax code, right? The president can't just rewrite the tax code. In the same way, president can't just write up executive orders and change the tariff laws. So that's the gist of what our case is about.
Doing some background for this segment, too, wasn't it back in 2018 when basically Trump is trying to run the same play with a different playbook? He used back in 2018 Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act to plug on tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Again, national security justification, but again, that was widely disputed.
Yes, at least that was a tariff law. At least that has, and that limited the scope of what he could do. But you're right, it was widely disputed. Presidents, as you know, presidents of both parties going back a long way, like the word national security. And for lawyers, it's significant because courts often defer to presidents once presidents say, oh, this is a matter of national security. And courts say, oh, well, we're hesitant to question the president's judgment in national security matters. So presidents like to take things like tariffs and move it from the category of trade questions and say, oh, this really is a national security question. And in our case, we're pretty confident that we are confident that the laws on the books say this is a trade matter. Trying to impose these across-the-board tariffs is not an emergency or national security matter, and we are explaining that in our lawsuit. This is not these cross-the-board tariffs were not for national security reasons, and so that's not justification. And the president shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt in the courts by invoking national security. Your point is a good one. This is another kind of another play in a very similar playbook.
And in your response, now you use the phrase both parties, which I'm glad you did, because without a doubt, your organization will be attacked as a political hack, quote unquote. I mean, same old, same old. You're probably expecting it and heard it before, and you'll expect to hear it about the NCLA. But the NCLA was also involved in a case against the Biden administration regarding New England fishing industry.
Yes, NCLA has been involved in a number. Well, go back even farther than that. Trump had a first term, as we all know, and NCLA, before I was here, was involved in a number of cases that were basically lawsuits against the first Trump administration and their agency actions. Then we had the Biden administration and NCLA sued them, and now we're suing the Trump administration. And to give you the short answer, there's more to the law than trying to help one administration or another, in our view. And our organization with civil liberties in the name, we have certain concepts we care about. We spent time, for example, expanding the right to jury trials over the last several years. And here in this case, we think it's important and the bipartisan issue that presidents and governors not abuse these emergency powers that they have. And here it's an important precedent to rein in the president's ability to say, oh, there's this emergency statute, so instead of following this whole body of tariff laws, I'm just going to cite the emergency statute and impose tariffs all by myself. And you can see, it's a good point, Chris, about the other party. You can see a president from another party coming in and declaring a climate emergency or some other long-running issue that the other party kind of puts in the foreground, and then issuing a bunch of executive orders and going around Congress based on that emergency. So that's the kind of principle that our organization follows, regardless of who's in the White House. And we think that's one of the reasons we think this is such an important case.
That's an important point, too, Andrew, just made. A precedent is always seen as something monumental, but it's also, can it be corrupted in future use, even though the present-day purpose was a just and right one, or vice versa? As the case may be, we're talking with Andrew Morris, Senior Litigation Counsel with the New Civil Liberties Alliance, nclalegal.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Quick political history lesson for everyone listening. It's being made to sound like Trump has just been given total control of what the Eighth Amendment, the Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution had carved in stone for Congress to have, and the House in particular. As far as I'll read here real fast, just the first part: Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, exercise to pay the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the U.S. with all duties, imports, excises shall be uniform throughout the U.S. Basically, Congress historically had the control of tariffs, and it wasn't just Trump. You can go back to when Smoot-Hawley was put into play back in the late 20s going into the 1930s. So with that being, and it's a slow progression but a long timeline to the point where Trump is at with the control of tariffs he has co-opted for his purposes. Is that a hindrance, do you think, Andrew, that a judge can look at that and say, well, if Congress thought it was okay, maybe it is?
Well, that's a great question. And that's actually, I like that historical background. I think that's very right on the mark. I guess there's two answers. The short answer is that Congress speaks through the laws it writes. And the Constitution, very clearly, as you started out saying, very clearly says Congress is in control of tariffs. Congress is in control. The same way you got to go to Congress to change the tax code, you got to go to Congress to change the tariff rules. And here Congress has exercised its authority by passing these ground rules and tariff statutes that say the president has to make certain showings. He can impose tariffs if he makes those showings. And they're generally on a specific industry in a specific country, for specific reasons, and we are emphasizing that's what Congress has done for decades. Your point, however, is a very good one, which is Congress is not always as proactive as it could be in reminding us that it has control over this. It spends time sometimes on other things, and we might face an argument that Congress has kind of ceded the battlefield. you know, ceded the ground by letting these presidents do some things. But this is, we're confident in this case because this is the first time ever. Well, your point is exactly right that presidents have exercised various authority under the tariff laws. This is the first time that a president has exercised this emergency authority to impose a tariff. So we can say this president now has gone one step beyond and hasn't been done before. And it really kind of oversteps what the president's allowed to do because Congress has to put in writing that the president can impose a tariff the kind that he's imposing. And here he's relying on an emergency law to protect us against foreign threats where that law doesn't even contain the word tariff or any synonym for tariff. It does not permit him to impose tariffs. It permits him to freeze terrorist assets and impose a trade embargo on Russia. So that's why this is your historical summary is very good. And that's where we think there's kind of a clean break where this goes even further, a significant step further than the history.
And what Andrew just described, too, explains why you're seeing that legislation go through the House and the Senate right now, with some Republicans actually signing on, saying that if a president institutes tariffs for this specific reason, Congress has to have a 90-day notice for it to happen. I mean, you might be thinking, if you just look at that, well, why is Congress not trying to legislatively reclaim what they have the right to in Article 1, Section 8? Well, the devil's in the details, as they like to say, and to keep along, following along with this case as it moves forward. It should be an interesting move forward as it goes through the process. NCLALegal.org, that's the website for the new Civil Liberties Alliance. He is their senior litigation counsel, Andrew Morris. Andrew, thank you for the education bringing to our attention this case because it could be an important turning point in what we're seeing happen and maybe lessen the blow of what just might be happening next with all this. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.